The title of this conference is Praying Always. One of the great spiritual classics of all times is a small book written by Brother Lawrence entitled The Practice of the Presence of God. When we are deeply in love with another person, we always want to be thinking about that person. We just can't get the thought of the person we love out of our mind. And this should be our relationship with God. And this is what Brother Lawrence means by the practice of the presence of God. This results whenever a person is head over heels in love with God, to the extent that this person tries to live a totally God-centered life. One's whole life revolves around God and God's will. Such a person is always trying to figure out what one can do to please God, to make God happy. When we are head over heels in love with God, we want just what God wants. And when we turn to God in prayer, it is not to try to manipulate God to get him to do what we want. But when we are deeply in love with God, our only concern is to please God. Our thoughts, our desires, our whole life revolves around God and God's will. If we are sincerely trying to please God and to do his will, we know for sure from the teaching of Jesus in the gospel that what God wants of us most of all is to do all in our power to help others, to love others as Jesus loved his disciples. As the gospel says, Jesus went about doing good. And so if we are going to pray always and lead a God-centered life, our very first thought upon awakening in the morning is first of all to praise God and to thank him for the gift of sleep, perhaps to thank him for yesterday, for the blessings of yesterday and of the past, and then to ask his guidance, to ask his help in trying to discern how we can do as much good as we possibly can in the day that's ahead of us. So we just pray and ask for guidance. Perhaps we think ahead of what is in store for us during the waking hours, the different people that we will meet, beginning with those people that we will meet right there in our own family early in the morning. And one by one, as we think of these different people with whom we will come into contact during the day, we try to discern, how can I make that person happy? What can I do to be of service to that person? And just like Jesus, we will go about doing good all day long. That is what will please God most. And that is how we can lead a God-centered life and to pray always. To be obedient to the needs of others. That is a way of expressing it. If we try to practice continually the presence of God throughout the day, it means that we need to dedicate our total energy to making God all important in our life, and then to do what we can to help others so that God will be all important in their life. This means a total surrender of every fiber of our being to God. A surrender to God's will. A good way to express this is the little prayer, Anything, Lord, Everything. A good way to use this prayer is to connect it with one's breathing. To breathe in on the first three syllables, Anything, then hold the fourth syllable, Lord, and then breathe out on the last three syllables, everything, anything, Lord, everything. It's just to say that over and over again, whenever we can think of it, during the day, and then when evening comes, when it's time for us to lie down to get some well-needed rest, I would suggest perhaps a little examination of conscience to think back over the day to see how well you have prayed always, how well you have lived in the presence of God during the day. And if you have succeeded, to thank Him for it. And if you have forgotten and neglected to think of God perhaps for many hours during the day, to ask His forgiveness and ask His help that you may do a better job the next day. But then put yourself in God's hands. Surrender yourself totally to His will. And a good way to do this, as you're lying there in bed waiting for sleep to come, is just to repeat this little ejaculation. It's what the Eastern people call a mantra that's connected with your breathing. Anything, Lord, everything. Anything, Lord, everything. It is just such a beautiful way to fall off to sleep, living and breathing and giving of yourself totally into the hands of God. Then, if you should awaken during the night, as many of us do, again, the first thought is to turn to God, is to put yourself in God's presence, to open yourself to God, again to say to Him, anything, Lord, everything. And then try to do whatever your conscience, whatever your common sense tells you would be pleasing to God at that time. For many people, it's simply to just try to go on back to sleep. For others, it may be to get up and to do some praying, offering up perhaps the Jesus prayer or the rosary or some other prayer form, whatever particular form that you find especially helpful, and spend some time in prayer. I think that God awakens us deliberately in the middle of the night, many times, in order to give us a chance to pray when we're not distracted, when there's no one else around, there's no phone calls, when we can give our undivided attention to God. There are, of course, many different ways to pray. If we are to live in the presence of God at all times and to pray always, we need a variety of prayer. We need also to experiment, to try different ways of praying, in order to try to discern what is the particular way of prayer that is best for us at this particular time in our life, at this particular stage of our journey of faith. Because if we are growing in holiness, we are maturing on our journey of faith, then our ways of prayer will change. St. Teresa of Avila wrote a book entitled The Interior Castle, in which she describes seven different ways of prayer, depending upon the seven different levels of faith to which one has attained. A reading of that book might give you some insights into the best way for you to pray. But let's just take a look at some of the different ways of praying. Vocal prayer. Using words, whether it be the Our Father, the Hail Mary, or an ejaculatory prayer, perhaps you memorized as children. If you find that they help you to live in God's presence, to pray always, to be constantly in contact with God, then by all means use that method of prayer. And know that that is the method of prayer that God wants you to have. The Jesus prayer is one that has been especially popular in the East, in Greece and in Russia, in past centuries. It is based on the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector who went up to the temple to pray. That is found in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus tells us that the prayer of the tax collector or the publican was pleasing to God. And that prayer was simply striking his breast and saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Well, the Jesus prayer uses those words of the tax collector, but adds, "Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." This has made saints out of many, many people in Russia and in Greece. There's a description of this in a fine little religious book called The Way of the Pilgrim. The prayer of praise, of gratitude, of just giving God what is due to Him is a prayer that is especially important. I think it's one of the best signs of our success and our growth on our journey of faith. If we realize that in our prayer life, that more and more gratitude becomes the main theme of our prayer life. Gratitude is a very positive way of practicing humility. Humility is recognizing our total dependence on God, is recognizing our total helplessness. As St. Paul says, "What have you that you have not received?" And so when we are constantly thanking God for the many blessings that we receive, this is a very beautiful way of expressing humility and at the same time of praying always and living in God's presence. There are also what we call blessing prayers. By baptism, every one of us shares in the priesthood of Christ, shares in the power of Jesus Christ to bless. And so when we ask God to bless somebody, when we pray for somebody, when we send out waves of love and prayer and grace in the direction of someone, we call that a blessing prayer. And this is something that can occupy us even when we are somewhat otherwise occupied, perhaps driving a car to work or to shopping, or when we are taking care of washing the dishes or cleaning the floor or making the beds. It is possible for us to carry on a constant conversation with God. There's a beautiful book entitled The Way of Divine Love, written by Sister Josepha, a Spanish nun who lived in southern France back in the 20s, who was able to carry on this constant conversation with the Lord Jesus as she went about her work as a lay sister and making the beds and cleaning the floors of the dormitories of this boarding school for girls. The Way of Divine Love, it's just constantly speaking to God and sending out blessings, sending out waves of grace. We can have some specific person in mind, perhaps some world leader, either a leader in the church or some secular leader, the leaders of our own country, the leaders of other countries like Russia and so on. And we can specifically ask God to send out a blessing of grace and love and power upon that person. Or we can just send it out in general, letting it go in whichever way it wishes. And then there is the way of contemplation, of just living in the presence of God without saying anything. St. Teresa of Avila, in her book Interior Castle, calls this the prayer of quiet. In the story of St. John Vianney, the parish priest who was a pastor in a little town in France named Ars, and is now the patron of parish priests, he tells the story of an old man in his little parish of Ars that would spend hours a day in church without any book at all, just kneeling or sitting there. And so the priest was curious as to just what kind of prayer this man did. And so he called him in one day and asked him, he says, how do you pray? What do you say? And the answer the old man gave was, "I don't say anything. I just look at God and He looks at me." That's contemplative prayer, the prayer of quiet. One of the modern forms of this type of prayer is centering prayer. Father Basil Pennington, of the Trappist from Spencer, Massachusetts, has written and given talks and composed tapes about this type of prayer, in which we just think of God's presence dwelling at the center of our being and trying to center our thoughts, our attention, our love, our heart, as well as our mind on that presence of God. And then the suggestion is just to use some simple word or a phrase. It could again be anything, Lord, everything, or just God, or the name Jesus, or whatever else one might want to use, and just repeat it slowly over and over again for some time. This is a beautiful way of practicing the presence of God and praying always. We don't have then to say words, just to be mindful of God, to be aware of His presence. The old morning offering was a wonderful way to start the day, but it's not just enough to start the day by offering our prayers, works, and joys and sorrows to God in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass, as the old morning offering put it. That's a good way to start the day, but it's necessary that we frequently avert back to God, so that you might think of your soul and your mind, your attention, like a rubber band. A rubber band, you can stretch it in any direction you want, but the moment you let go of the tension on that band, what happens? The band reverts to its original shape. Now, our original shape, the original shape of our life, should be a life that is totally centered in God. And so, like the rubber band, it is necessary for us to put ourselves under tension and stretch ourselves first in one direction and another. This is especially necessary when we go out in loving service to others, when we carry out the duties of our state of life. It is absolutely necessary for us to give our full attention to the person that we are serving or to the task that we are performing, so that at certain moments where our whole attention is occupied, it is naturally impossible also to be thinking of God at that same time. And that's why offering those things up before we start them is a good way of keeping ourselves centered in God. But then the moment our attention is not totally required to the person that we are serving or to the task that we are performing, like the rubber band, as soon as you let go of the tension, it immediately reverts back to its original shape. And our original shape should be God, God's will, God's love, God's goodness. We can think both of God's love for us and our love for God, so that we can be open to receiving God's love, and then we can in turn offer our love to God. And regardless of whether we are receiving love from God or giving love to Him, that's still prayer. That is still practicing the presence of God and praying always. All of us should have some special way to express this total giving of ourselves over to God. One of the ways that has appealed especially to me is the way that St. Ignatius Loyola suggests at the end of the 30-day spiritual exercises. It's called the Oblation of St. Ignatius, and it goes as follows. Take, O Lord, into your hands my entire liberty. Receive my memory, my understanding, my whole will. All that I am and all that I have you have given to me. I give it back to you to be disposed of according to your good pleasure. Give me only your love and your grace. With these I am rich enough and desire nothing more. Some people misunderstand this giving over to God our entire liberty, our memory, our understanding, our whole will. What it means is that we try to center our whole life, our memory, our understanding, our whole will in God and God's will, trying to use whatever intelligence, common sense, and experience that we have to determine what is God's will at this particular time, and then giving ourselves totally over to that will of God. That's what it means to surrender our memory, our understanding, and our whole will. Another beautiful prayer is the one by Sebastian Temple that has been set to music and is used very often in our mass offertory. All that I am, all that I have, all that I'll ever have, I offer now to you. Take and sanctify them, Lord, is all I care. Another way of practicing the presence of God, of praying always, is to try to see the hand of God in all the events of our own life and in the events of history. Knowing that God is able to bring good out of everything, even out of evil, we can believe that regardless of what happens, if we give ourselves over to God, try to do His will, regardless of what others might do to us or fail to do, that we are able to bring good out of it. My favorite verse in the whole Bible is Romans 8:28, which goes as follows, "For those who love God, all things work together unto good." There's a condition for this to happen. Things just don't automatically work together for good. But if we love God, and St. Bernard of Clairvaux, in his famous book on the love of God, says we need only to want to love God, and behold, we already love Him. So if we are making an honest effort to love God, to make God the center of our life, to build our whole life around God and God's will, that's what it means to love God. And for those who love God, all things work together unto good. Why should we try to pray always? Why should we try to practice the constant presence of God? Well, I think the reason is because we belong to God. He is our Creator. We are totally dependent upon Him. We are not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. We are not totally independent. And so if we want to fulfill our God-given destiny on earth, the whole purpose of why we were created and why we exist, then we're not free to do anything we please. We have a responsibility to do only God's will. And practicing the presence of God, praying always, living in His presence, constantly centering our life around God, that is the way by which we will more surely than any other way carry out our particular purpose of our existence. The relationship that God wishes to have with each one of us is one of love and not of fear. As St. John tells us in his first epistle, perfect love casts out fear. And so our prayer, living in God's presence, should help us to grow in the love of God, help us to overcome our fears, not only fears of God, but fears of the world, fear of others, fear of the future, fear of ourselves. By practicing the presence of God and living always in that presence, we will become daily more aware of God's great love for us. We will realize that God will never abandon us, that He accompanies us every step of our journey of faith, that we always have available to us the total power of God's love. And so, by putting ourselves in His presence, we make available to ourselves that power. The beautiful story of the Annunciation in the first chapter of Luke's Gospel reminds us of just what we need to do in order to make that power of God, which the angel Gabriel calls the Holy Spirit, available to us. We have to do what Mary did. As she said there to the angel, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." Total surrender, total abandonment of her will and of her life, of her body, of her mind, her soul, her whole being in the hands of God, to allow that power of God to come and take possession of her. God is a great respecter of persons. God never forces Himself upon any of us. And that is the basic difference between the way God acts toward us and the way Satan, or an evil spirit, tries to act, tries to force itself upon us. But God, no, like that verse in the third chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 17, says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens, I will enter and make my abode," or "I will sup with him or her." If you remember the artist's picture that shows Jesus standing in the garden with the lantern in his hand at nighttime, knocking on this door, and the artist has made sure not to put a doorknob on the outside. So the only way that Jesus can enter into our home, into our heart, is if we from within open that door and invite Him in. And that's what Mary did. She opened her heart and invited the Holy Spirit, invited the power and the love of God into her heart. And look what happened. She became the mother of the Savior, the mother of Jesus. In a very real sense, we too are called upon to continue the same work that Mary did, to bring forth Christ into the world, into the lives of people. But that will only happen if, first of all, we, like Mary, have opened our heart and our soul and our whole being to the power of God and invited it to come and take possession of us. And this basically is what practicing the presence of God and praying always is all about. This is the end of the conference.